This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This episode contains explicit language. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, June 29th, the Two Kids Max edition. I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding parenting column, and mom to Naima, who is 10, and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog, Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom to three littles, Henry, who's 11, Oliver, who's 9, and Teddy, who's 6. And this is our last week in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
My name is Hari Kondabolu. I'm a comedian and writer who just released the special Vacation Baby on YouTube for free. My kid's name is Arjun. He's almost 3 years old, and we are in Brooklyn, New York.
Hari, we are thrilled to have you. Welcome to the show.
Absolutely. Pleasure to be here.
We're going to start today sharing a few parenting triumphs and fails, and then we'll give some advice to a listener who has her heart set on a big family, but her husband wants two kids, no more. Finally, if you're sticking around for Slate Plus, we're going to be talking about children's books that are a lot worse than you remembered. Here's what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
He took the monkey, this man in a yellow hat, brought him to another country, doesn't even put him in a place with other monkeys. He's living with the monkey, so it's not like you're not even exposing the monkey to like how the creatures like him. It's like, no, this is the audacity of calling him curious. You locked him in an apartment, man. Like, what do you think? He wants to get out. He's not supposed to be here. And now he wants to know, where am I? And also, how do I get out of here? Just all of it.
And then they're always mad at him. Like, what did you think? Like, you let the monkey be a substitute teacher. What did you think was going to happen?
You're lucky that monkey doesn't claw your face off. There are real world examples of this.
As a Slate Plus member, you'll get a whole bonus segment each week and all your favorite Slate podcasts ad-free. It's truly the best way to listen and the best way to support the show. You can sign up for Slate Plus now at slate.com/momanddadplus. All right, we're going to jump into triumphs and fails as soon as we get back from this short break.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
So, Elizabeth, what have you been up to this week, your last week in Colorado?
My last week in Colorado, we are packing everything up to move to Tokyo. The kids and I have kind of a long segue there. We're going to Atlanta, then we're going to be in Hawaii, then we will finally arrive in Tokyo sometime in August. So that is all very exciting. And before I start, I have to just say like a huge thanks to all of our friends here who I have called in all of the favors, like Shameless, can you just come take my kids? shit's hitting the fan here kind of thing. But we, in the midst of all this, went to the dentist and discovered that Teddy has five teeth that are loose and like need to come out. Like Teddy tends to let them kind of like hang until the last moment. And the dentist is like, look, he's got kind of deep grooves. There's like saliva sitting there. It's gross. They need to come out. So we're like, all right. He has his heart set on getting one of these shot out by a Nerf gun. He has a friend that has done this at school and he wants this more than anything else. We don't have any Nerf guns in the house, but our dear friends Michaela and them do. Michaela's husband Ryan was like, yeah, bring him over. I will, you know, tie the thing. I will make sure this tooth comes out. I mean, it's like hanging by nothing. So we go over there last night, tie the tooth to the Nerf gun. We stand out by the deck because we're thinking if we like shoot it down, there's more time. First little bullet out of the gun, like dud, like it just like pops out. Okay. So we're like, all right, this side. He is like, he wants this so bad. Second bullet, same thing, like dud. So I'm standing there. And as one of the other kids is like pulling the trigger, because, you know, there's nothing better than getting to shoot your friend's tooth out. As
what
he goes
tooth is, I'm sorry, I need a visual. What okay. tooth is this?
This, so it's one of the front teeth, front top, okay. And we've tied a piece of dental floss around the top of the tooth, like okay. where it hits the gum. And then we've tied the other end to the Nerf bullet, which we then load into this Nerf gun. And the idea is that we will shoot the Nerf gun and it will pull the tooth out and, you know, go flying into the, but so far this is not happening. Like the gun just does not have enough power.
Oh.
So as the kid pulled, but he's done it before. Like we know that it works. I mean, Teddy hasn't done it, but our friends have done it.
I mean, you definitely know CPS will not get involved in this, right? Like this isn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we hope, right? I mean, when he first said he wanted it shot out, I thought he wanted someone to shoot it at his face.
And that's I was
visualizing. No, like that's just a hard no. No, he wants it to like fly out. So as the third one goes, I'm just thinking like this tooth has to come out. So again, the bullet kind of like is going down and I just grab the bullet and the floss and yank it and throw it. And the tooth comes out and all the parents are like, and the kids are all cheering because they think it's been shot out. And of course, my friend is taking the video in slow-mo and you can see that I like just ripped my kid's tooth out of his mouth.
God.
He's ecstatic. But Elizabeth. I definitely committed some kind of fraud. I'm not sure. But here's the thing. He's so happy. He is like telling my parents, I shot my, you know, tooth out. It worked. I'm thinking, no, I pulled the tooth out.
How in was that tooth? Was it really in the gum?
It was so loose. It was so loose.
Day yes. now okay. at that point.
Any day now. Like could bend all the way forward, right. but wouldn't go all the way
gotcha.
Back.
Yeah.
And I think by pulling the floss, I mean, the tooth was still like attached to floss when we found it in the yard. You know, he's my littlest. We've lost a lot of teeth, but this was like the most dramatic. And I don't typically do things like this, but I'm just thinking like, I don't want this tooth to fall out when I'm flying with them or like him swallow it or any of these other terrible things. So I guess it was just better for me to yank his tooth out, which I did. But he doesn't know.
He didn't watch the video?
Well, my friend cut the video. So it's like the she's like, oh man. So like the we see the Nerf gun leave and then nothing.
That's incredible, Elizabeth.
The image is very jarring in my head.
Yeah.
At least the video would give me something which I'm sure wasn't nearly as graphic, but in my head it is very jarring.
No, it was as jar, like literally every parent standing there gasped as I just like, yeah, you know, and like threw it into the yard, hoping the tooth would come with it. Yeah. Not my finest moment. Well, Hari, what is up in your week of parenting?
Well, I mean, this triumph is not just this week, but it's a gradual building. Like the kid listens to pretty good music, right? He listens to like the kid stuff. You know, like all the different Sesame Street songs or whatever, he's into that. But like since he was a year and a half, 2 years, we've been playing lots of music for him. And so initially, like, you know, he liked Beyonce and he'd like want stuff off the new record. And that's my partner's taste, right? Like that's definitely, I like Beyonce, but like she's the one that was really drilling that in, right? Like my partner and I are around the same age, but she's the cool parent that's kept up to date with music. And me, it like stopped in 2000. So it's everything I listened to from childhood to about 2000. So, you know, the first couple of songs he was obsessed with were Love Shack by the B-52s. And Mama Said Knock You Out, which we have so many videos of us doing that song together. And so initially, you know, it was cute. Like, oh, there's a couple of good songs. And so when I was putting him down at night, I started singing a bunch of like alternative rock songs from the 90s, which is weird because I've listened to so many other things since then. But for some reason, the stuff I listened to in high school, I can remember every single word. And so I started, so I'm singing some Weezer to him and, you know, Depeche Mode and things like that. And now he's like obsessed with those songs. He calls them daddy songs and he requests them constantly. I ask him, how many songs do you want? And initially it used to be four. We're up to 10 now. And he like will go through like, I want to hear In the Garage. And then I've got to sing In the Garage. Then I'm like, I want to hear Oh No, I Said Too Much, which is his way of saying Losing My Religion by R.E.M. You know, and then it's gotten to the point where it's like, I want to hear A Message to You, Rudy, which I initially played him from the Specials, like second wave British ska, you know, and I'm like, this kid's going to be a cool kid. And then all of a sudden he listened to multiple versions because, you know, when you put a song, it just kind of plays different, yeah, you know, and now he just says, I want the Dandy Livingston version, which for a 2.5-year-old to demand the original Jamaican version of this song is mind-blowing. Like, it's mind-blowing. Like, the kid's cooler than I am. Like, he's gotten into Depeche Mode. He'll tell me it's Personal Jesus, Just Can't Get Enough, Enjoy the Silence. And then there are other songs I have never heard before that he requests because he's been listening to the Depeche Mode station. He names songs that I don't know. And then I have to give him the phone and he like starts pressing buttons and he gets the one he wants. Like, and so part of me is like excited that this kid likes some of this music. But the other part of me is like, I don't want to keep singing the same songs every single time I have to put him down for a nap or for like his sleep at night. I don't want to play the same songs on my phone over and over and over. And he doesn't let me alternate. It has to be the same songs in whatever order he's into that day. There are songs that I should never have sang him that now are there, like Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus. It's not a great song, but it was catchy when I was 17. He wants to hear Closing Time by Semisonic.
Oh, no.
And which it made sense. Initially, it's time to sleep. It's bedtime, Closing Time.
Yeah.
But it's just he wants me to do that song all the time, which I'm sick of. And then there are songs that just seem inappropriate that I sang when he couldn't understand anything because he was less than a year, that he wants, like, I'm on Fire by Bruce Springsteen. Like, Hey, Little Girl, Is Your Daddy Home? Does He Go and Leave You All Alone at Night? I Got a Bad Desire. Oh, I'm on Fire. Like, 2-year-old's not supposed to know that. It's just, it's a creepy song.
You know, they can always expand to love present day music. You know, I have a kid who's an old school music person too. She identifies as a 90s yeah. kid, even though she was born in 2013.
Wow. Oh.
But she's all on the new stuff. She tells me about stuff I've never heard of. She talks about Ice Spice and Pink Pantherist and all this stuff. So he'll get there, you know, but he'll have this cool foundation, you know, and his teachers will be impressed by it. Naima's teachers always compliment her on, she knows her
That's
stuff.
Funny.
She's an old school girl.
I mean, I need to mix. I need to get off like just alternative rock. I gotta play. I should be playing some Tribe for him. I should be playing.
I was gonna say, where's the Tribe? Where's the Wu-Tang? It's
again. This is the stuff that like I listened to in high school that I remember all the words to.
I think you're on the right. We get a lot of questions from parents who are stuck in the opposite. Like they're locked into like kids songs, and their kids just want that on repeat, or like the very popular like pop and they just can't take it anymore. Yeah. And they write in asking, like, what are we supposed to do? How do we lay a foundation? So see, you've gone the complete
just pretend
opposite
they're lullabies.
Way. Jamila, how has your week been?
So I've got a good old fail for me, perhaps a triumph for Naima, I don't know. Yesterday we went to Color Me Mine, which is a chain of places where you can go and paint pottery. It's already made. You pick out the shapes. It's a little pricey, and you know, you paint them and they fire them up and you come pick them up in 4 or 5 days. So we've been a few times. It's near our house, and Naima usually gets frustrated with her work. You know, she wants it to be perfect. You know, I think the last time we went, she painted a unicorn. She wasn't happy with the unicorn. You know, like, she wants them to be really perfect. And this is, like, hard. You know, like, I've made some terrible stuff since we went. Last time when I made a mug, it was so ugly. You know, I made a plate. It was terrible. She asked me to go, so we go. And she's painting a mermaid. You know, and she wants to make it look like Halle Bailey. So she pulls up a picture of Halle Bailey on her phone and she's looking at it for inspiration. And she gets very frustrated with it. You know, she's like, it looks crazy. It's terrible. And she gives up on it. You know, I asked the one, I was like, can we like rinse off some of the paint? Because these pieces are like $25 a piece, you know, so we're not starting over. You know, like, can we wash off some of the paint? She's like, yeah, I can get some of it off, but you know, I can't get it all off. It'll get a little too murky. And, you know, Naima gets frustrated and she just covers the whole thing in purple paint. She just like paints over. She'd already painted the face brown. It had eye, you know, and she just covers it in purple paint. She's just like, I'm frustrated, you know? And I was like, Naima, no, like, you need to finish this up. I said, I think you're being really petty and childish right now. And so she's like, I have to go to the bathroom. And she storms to the bathroom. So I give her a second by herself and I go back there and she reads me. She's like, you know, I'm frustrated. I've made a cat. Your cat came out so well and you don't know what it's like to not be the one who's good at things, you know? And I'm like, Naima, I'm not a great artist. And it took me years to be able to make something like this, you know, like, you're not a painter. Like, that's fine. She said, you know, and for you to tell me I'm being childish, guess what, Mom? I am a child.
Oh, self-awareness.
Self-awareness. So what exactly am I supposed to do? And once again, Naima had asserted her dominance over me. I had nothing to say back to that. I just got very quiet. And we left. You know, her piece got thrown away because she, like, destroyed it.
You didn't even fire it?
No, like, she put, the paint was all over, it was ruined, you know, like, she just really messed it up, and I wanted her to finish it, like, okay, yeah. Well, if it's gonna be purple, make it purple, and she just gave up on it, and I just, you know, and I was frustrated because I wanted her to complete it, you know, which is what I was trying to explain to her.
Because the painting pottery is such a, it's like, one, what you paint looks one way, and then it comes out something totally different. Like, I've had things that I thought were going to be gorgeous came out were awful. And the other way, like, I've painted things that are like, well, this is a disaster. And they've come out and they've been fine.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's kind of the ruse, too. But I feel for her.
She says, I don't ever want to come back here that's again. Hilarious. I know that's not true. I know she's going to ask to go back. I don't know if I'm going to take her back.
I know. What do you do? Like, next time, what do you do? Because it feels like you want to redo, but you know it's going to happen. My kids exactly say that all the time, too. And I'm like, well, yes, I've been painting pottery for, you know, 40 years. I mean, not all of it, but you've been painting for 5. So mine should be better.
Mine should be better. Can I be better at something? You can sing. You can dance. Like, what do I do?
But I mean, come on, it's like, you are underselling it. You're not good at painting ceramic. That is quite the...
Yeah, I'm like that. I'm subset. Like, you're not a ceramics painter.
Yeah. I'm sorry that was your dream. this age is so hard, Jamila. It's like so they want hard to be big, right? I mean, I just feel like, I feel for these big kids.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take another quick break. We'll see you back here for our listener question.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
all over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
We're back. Let's hear today's listener question.
Dear Mom and Dad, I've been listening to the podcast for a decade, long before I had my own kid. I'm the proud mom to a 17-month-old son. I love children. My career is built around children, too. I'm a therapist for kids and teens. My son is my whole world. I come from a small family. One brother, no cousins. I've always dreamed of having a big family. My husband recently decided he is adamant that he only wants two kids, max. Three kids is completely off the table for him. He has good reason. He's immunocompromised, and this past cold and flu season with our germy toddler was hard on his health. He thinks that having three kids in the house could be unsafe for his health, and he's probably right. To say that I am devastated is an understatement. I feel like I'm grieving the one life dream I've had for my entire life. I feel like my identity is being shoved under a rug. I'm afraid that movies like The Family Stone or My Big Fat Greek Wedding will always trigger feelings of resentment and sadness. I'm afraid that I will be terribly jealous of my friends with three kids. Most of all, I'm afraid I will be spending the later part of my life alone. My husband is doing well right now, but he has a disease that significantly impacts life expectancy. I'm incredibly close with both of my parents, but not my brother. I have two best girlfriends, but they both have sisters, and they won't need me like I will need them. I am terrified of the idea that my one or two adult children will have to spend holidays with partners, and I will be by myself. If I were to have even one more kid, there are greater odds that I will have someone who will want to spend holidays with me. I'm at a loss. How can I cope? Two kids. Max.
Harry, what do you think?
I feel like, one, you're saying, I want a third kid. That's what I've always imagined. Yeah, my partner's immunocompromised. He has a good reason. You acknowledge that. But this dream of three kids is not going to be there. You have two kids and you want specifically three.
She has one now, but her husband is only open to having another one.
Oh, so he is, they're open for two. She's open to...
He's open to two, you know, oh, two kids max. They have a 17-month-old.
I mean, again, the fact that he's immunocompromised and he's willing to say, let's have another kid, even though it does put my health in jeopardy. So in your dream life, your partner isn't immunocompromised, you know, like this is your partner. This person has to deal with that. And it's not to say that your desires and your wants for your future are not relevant, but like this is the reality that you have, and he's already, you know, willing to have another kid with you, despite the fact you acknowledge also it's a health thing. First of all, I don't necessarily think it's the healthiest way to think of your life that far ahead, and also one where the people in your life are just pieces for you to play with, right? Like they're not, you know, there for you. They're there because they're human beings that exist with their own desires and wants. And so all these assumptions, I don't think are necessarily healthy.
I want to hold this person's hand and say, take a deep breath. Like, there's a lot of life between one kid and two kids and two kids and three kids. I think that it is very possible that you have the second kid and your mind changes. I think it's very possible you have the second kid and his mind changes. I think how sick he is, where medical stuff is at the time that you have, you know, all of these kids changes. I just know when Jeff and I got married, he wanted like a lot of children and I wanted like one, maybe two. And by the time I was having the second, I was like, I want to have a third kid. And he was like, this is total chaos. We're not having a third, right? I just feel like life, especially with kids, moves so quickly that I right now wouldn't start worrying about whether or not you have a third kid until you're there. If you're ready to have a second, have a second, work on that, see how that goes. I completely agree with you, Hari, though, that this idea that having a kid to fix a future problem of your own is just not the right reasons. Like, it sounds like you have a lot of things that you're worried about, and none of those are reasons to have another kid, and not all of them will be fixed by having another kid.
That's right.
So I really think that some therapy about your concerns about your husband's condition, maybe couples therapy, just digging into those emotions that you feel alone. I think you let a writer make a bunch of assumptions about what your life is going to look like and that these friends that have sisters won't need you. I just think that there are other ways to fill those voids that is not necessarily having a kid. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a third child. I'm not saying you should. I think you and your husband, when you get to that point, are going to have to sit down and have a real conversation about what you want your family to look like. And it is going to be a very hard conversation, and there's going to be tears, and maybe that needs to be done in therapy, or maybe you're just at a different place. But I think you have put so much ahead of you, like going from one kid to two kids is really, really hard. It's really hard. And so I think in my mind, I would say, get through that if that's what you both want. Focus on having, you know, two kids, and then reevaluate.
You're a lot nicer than I was. I'm sorry I was a bit harsh there. I think, I guess to me, like, because I know what it feels like to have like anxiety and go,
yeah,
you're ruminating about something over and over, and you're going way into the future. But again, you know, if you're also worried about your husband dying and being alone, then, you know, having a third kid when it might risk his health is probably also, you know, counterproductive to that end.
As you both have said, like, you have the husband that you have. I mean, I think you should be grateful that he's willing to put his health at risk again to have a second baby, because the first one has been hard on him, you know, and God forbid you all have a third child and your husband gets really sick and doesn't recover, you know, and then you'd be raising three kids alone. I understand that this was a life dream that you've had, and maybe you and your husband, you say he recently decided that he only wants two kids max, so maybe this was something you all had been open to in the past, and it's okay to grieve that. You know, you're from a small family, you wanted a big family, it's totally okay to be sad about that, but you know, there are other ways to address the potential loneliness that you could feel in the future. And hopefully your husband will live a long, you know, healthy life and exceed your expectations. But even if he doesn't, you know, if you have two children, if you only have the one child, you know, what you have to do is build a relationship with them where they want to be there for you.
Yeah.
You know, you may be grandma who gets on the plane to go visit her kids at the holidays, you know, every year. You may find yourself, you know, needing to adjust to their lives in order to have their company. And that's okay. But this is just not a good or healthy reason to have a third child, and your husband is against it. So I agree with Elizabeth. I think that you need to get into some therapy for yourself, talk through these feelings, maybe identify just what is it about having a big family that means so much to you, and try to move past it. And by the way, a family of four is not a small family. You know, that's still two kids. The odds are pretty good. You've got two kids. One of them will want to fuck with you when you're old. You know, like, you'll be fine.
Well, I think, too, there's a lot of, even if she only stops at one, like, either, you know, they just decide or can't have kid, whatever, you just never know what the future is going to hold. There are a lot of ways that you can bond with one child that is impossible to do once you have multiple kids.
Yeah.
I see that a lot. You know, one of our best friends here is they're a single child family, and they get to do so much more and have a very different relationship than we do because they get to operate differently. And so I think also, like, don't count that. There are a lot of, like, beautiful, wonderful things about having one kid that parents can pour into and that you can pour into and bond with. Having another child to fix the problem, like we've all been saying, may not be actually what you need or that ends up fixing it.
And also, I think just generally, you can't see your partner as a conduit to the things you want. Like, this person is a person you love. And I'm hoping it's not just, well, with this person, I'm going to get what I want. He'll get me what I want, which is in this case, like be the father of another child. And your kids aren't conduits to like, well, then they'll cover this, this, and this. Like, you know, that's not how people work. So I think just not viewing people as a means to an end is probably also just generally a good rule.
All right, two kids, Max, thank you so much for writing to us. Fellow listeners, if you have advice for two kids, Max, you can always share it at momanddad@slate.com or leave us a voicemail at 646-357-9318. And that's our show. Please subscribe, leave a rating and review, and tell your friends. Harry will be back with us on Monday, where we'll be talking about his new special, Vacation Baby. Don't forget to tune in. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson and Mara Curry. Shasha Leonard is the voice of our listeners. Alicia Montgomery is VP of Slate Audio. For Elizabeth Newcamp and Hari Kondabolu, I'm Jamila Lemieux. Thanks for listening.